ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Welcome everyone to the everyday morning Bhagavatam class. We are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 22. Today the verses for discussion are verse number 29 and 30 both. On the board here we see text number 29. So I'll chant the verse and then you can repeat.
Kshinariktaschutasthanam
Kshipto baddhascha shatrubhi Gyatibhischa parityakto Yatana manuyapita Kshinariktaschutasthana Runa bharsitah shapto Jahu satyam na suvratah छलेर उक्तो मया धर्मो नायम त्यजति सत्यवाक। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपद। ट्रांसलेशन। ऑल्दो बिरेफ्ट ऑफ हिज रिचेस, फॉलन फ्रॉम हिज ओरिजिनल पोजिशन, डिफीटेड एंड अरेस्टेड बाय हिज एनिमीज, रिब्यूक्ड एंड डेजर्टेड बाय हिज रिलेटिव्स एंड फ्रेंड्स, ऑल्दो सफरिंग द पेन ऑफ बीइंग बाउंड and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Purport. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. Hare Krishna. Before beginning to speak on this verse, I would like to offer my obeisances to all the devotees. Some of you are present here, some of you are doing some services, listening to this class by radio. So please bless me, especially to all the senior devotees present here. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, Shamanand Prabhu, Akinchan Krishna Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Dauji Prabhu, Baldev Prabhu. It's a difficult service to do, sitting here in front of all of you. Some of you are my teachers, some of you are my peers, but getting an elevated seat before all of you is certainly a very difficult job. However, I have some faith in the order that has been given to me, this instruction that you give a class. So on the strength of that mercy which accompanies an instruction, I'm going ahead with this audacity to sit here in front of you and try to speak something that I have learned from all of you. the conditioned living entity, when it comes to this world, tries to enjoy in different ways. Sometimes on the level of the body, sometimes on the level of the mind, sometimes it takes pleasure in intellectual activities, trying to seek pleasure. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is also called as Ishwar. And this mood is prominent for a soul which comes to the material world. In fact, when it comes here, probably it has the word enjoyer, Ishwar, or controller, as its primary goal. That is why it came here. I want to enjoy something separate from the Lord. That is the reason for it, for which it came here. But somehow or other, the nature of this world is in trying to experiment with different facilities that have been provided by the Supreme Lord through the agency of material nature. He understands in due course of time that it's not natural for me to enjoy here. Then probably he understands that yes, I am Ishwar to a certain degree, but there is somebody called Param Ishwar, there is Parameshwar, and I should not try to enjoy. Yet, since the Supreme Lord has designed this place for him to have his own small world where he can do what he wants in a limited way, not transgressing his limits, there are some facilities also provided to him. So yes, there is arts, there is philosophy, there is science. And in one purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the special quality, the special intelligence that a living entity in the human form has, other entities also have intelligence to a limited degree. But the special qualities that we have, especially that stand out, they should be used for progress of arts, science, philosophy, economics, politics, culture, physics, chemistry. He goes to this extent. By this culture of such knowledge, he says, we can reach the perfection of life. And then he makes an interesting line. He says, and the culmination of such perfection of life is realization of the Supreme Lord. So yes, advancement in the field of culture, arts, science is not denied. If you look at our Vedic history, it's not that people were just engaged in devotional service, as in just doing that. No, they were engaged in other activities also. But the sterling quality of Vedic culture is that they used all the advancement in all these fields to propagate God consciousness. So where was architecture used, all the high knowledge, all the expert knowledge of architecture was used to build temples. You never find homes of kings even as big as the temples. The temple domes are prominent. So all knowledge that was advanced was used in the service of the Lord. So that was the special quality of Vedic culture. And some examples of this is, one time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving a class and he was mentioning how he had one time met one prominent painter in India. And he was mentioning how when he visited this painter, he showed him a huge painting on his wall. It almost covered his whole wall in his home. And this picture was of the Rasa dance, Rasa Leela. And it appeared to be a very beautiful painting even from far. But then as he was speaking to Maharaj, he said, come with me. And he took Maharaj close. Then he took a magnifying glass. And then he showed some of the details in that painting to Maharaj. He showed how some of the clothes, the upper layer was transparent. The clothes were of two or three layers. So the upper layer was transparent and there was some embroidery done in the layer beneath that. And this was shown in his painting. But for this, you have to go there with a magnifying glass. It means, with all his talents, since he's one of the most prominent painters in this country, he had actually taken the pains to take a magnifying glass and paint it. All minute details were there inside. And it showed how the embroidery is beneath and the cloth is. Just imagine Ras Leela is so many personalities, so many gopis and so many forms of Krishna there. All were minutely painted. So Maharaj was saying how attention to details is a sign of love. So this person, he's a very great painter, but he's using his skill to glorify Krishna. Prabhupada mentions the example of Valmiki, who's a very great poet. But he used his poetry in the service of the Lord, wrote such a nice epic, Ramayana. Even today, it captures the hearts of readers. Vyas is an amazing, intelligent person. So he wrote all the Vedic scriptures, compiled all the Vedic scriptures. One popular singer, he met one devotee. He mostly a commercial singer. He is a commercial singer. But he has a lot of affinity for Lord Krishna also. So many times he will visit temples and sing for the pleasure of the Lord. And sometimes some temples may invite him for singing bhajans in the glorification of the Lord. So once he confided, he said, I have done so many programs. Sometimes they call me to big stadiums and there are lakhs of people eager to hear my voice. And I get a lot of money also for that. But the pleasure that I get when I come to temples and sing for the pleasure of Shri Shri Radha Krishna, and I don't get paid for it. This is my service. He said, the pleasure that I get out of this activity, which I don't charge, is much, much more. You cannot compare it to the pleasure that I get by getting money even. But there are so many thousands and lakhs of people. The pleasure is not comparable, he said. It means some people who are intelligent and they are very adept, they are very expert in their own skills, they have, if they are really intelligent, they have chosen, in addition to using their skills for their own maintenance and sustenance, they'll allot certain time, they'll give some time for glorification of the Lord. So that is something that is special about the Vedic culture. Yes, there is advancement, but used in the service of the Lord. You have some cultures today or in the past who are very advanced, but they don't link it to God. And if they link it to God, mostly they are like passive cultures, not interested in actually spreading it. And this is one of the accusations that comes against Hinduism, that mostly it is fatalistic. It does not inspire people to preach and to talk about God and to help others also. But this is a wrong misconception. This is not true. If you read the lives of all the great acharyas, they were never passive. They were so much interested in giving it to others also. Anyway, so taking this theme, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse where Shukdeva Goswami explains this concept. He says, tapasvino dana parayashasvino manasvino mantra vidah sumangala kshemam navindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. He says, all the great and learned sages, all the great charitable persons, all the people with high distinction in their lives, all the people who are expert in chanting Vedic hymns, all the people who are very expert in mystic yoga, and also all the people who are expert in controlling their mind and like that. So all these people, kshemam na vindanti vina yad arpanam, they will not achieve perfection in their lives unless they offer the results of their activities, the results of their efforts to Subhadra Shravase, Lord Krishna, who is very auspicious even to hear about him. So that is the mood that is there in the Bhagavatam. So all of us are also urged to become expert in whatever we are doing. But the culmination would be when we offer it to Lord Krishna. In one of the places in the fourth canto, Lord Krishna is described by Dhruv Maharaj as Purushartha Murti. So Purusha Artha is something that you should aim for, something that is the goal of life, Artha, valuable. And generally we hear of the four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But who is Krishna? Krishna is Purushartha Murti. He is the personification of Purushartha. He is the personification of what we should aim for, what we should aspire for in our lives. So this is how the necessity for offering to the Lord is stressed in the Vedic scriptures. Now doing this is very difficult. Why? Because as I said, when we come here, We think that we are the only Ishwar. It takes us some time and some knocks, prakshepatmika, to discover that apart from me, there is another supreme enjoyer, there is supreme controller. And the Bhagavatam describes this mentality not to offer to Krishna and to enjoy yourself in two words, which are very famous, aham mameti. This mood of that I am controller, I am the owner of what I see, what I possess, and everything belongs to me. This aham mameti is not a very good attitude. So, out of this aham and mama, aham is I and mama is that which belongs to me. So this mama attitude is generally practiced by karmis. Generally they will be very attached to their possessions. They work hard, practically foaming at their mouths, and they will possess different things and which is very difficult to part from. The other mentality, that is the aham, is very prominent in the jnanis. Why? Because by the cultivation of knowledge they understand that dukhalayam ashashvatam. So whatever I possess is definitely going to give me misery in due course of time, and anyways it is temporary. See, material possessions, however alluring they may be, but in due course of time they are going to be taken away. Either by the force of time or finally at the time of death. Nobody can claim permanent proprietorship. So a person who is just engaged at a very low level in trying to enjoy, his sense of proprietorship will extend not only to his body but also to his possessions. But if somebody is a little bit advanced, then by the culture of knowledge he understands that as far as I have seen, everything in this world is temporary. So then he just sticks to himself. But then there is a catch there. He might think that, he may fall prey to the last snare of Mayavad. He may think that I am that supreme. The impersonal Brahman has come here and like that. So these are these two misconceptions that somebody might have in this material world. Out of this, because the conception of mama is lower, because it extends to possessions, you can see that even animals practice this philosophy of mama. Sometimes you will see dogs barking in the middle of the night because somebody else is infringing upon their property. Some other dog ventures into his field and then he starts barking. So this feeling of mama is even prominent amongst animals. But the feeling of I generally is not seen amongst animals. Generally not seen among the lower species. But in human beings you can see both aham and mama. So if somebody can give up these qualities of aham and mama, both, then only it is possible for him to offer something to the Lord. Why would I offer something to somebody who is not the proprietor? Unless I realize that actually this belongs to somebody else and not me. I am just a temporary tenant in this home that belongs to somebody else. I would not offer it back. I would try to enjoy it. So these two mentalities have to be given up, and then only it's possible to offer something to the Lord, which we saw just before that is the highest aspiration. Now to take it back, if a living entity is not ready to give it back, and if the Lord desires his rapid advancement, then sometimes the Lord may use deception. Sometimes the Lord may use non-standard techniques. And in today's verse we see Lord Vamandev, he himself is accepting that. He is saying in his own words, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up any religious principles, for he is true to his word. So Lord sometimes admits that he uses that. In the Krishna Leela also sometimes you find Krishna's certain activities are very bewildering. But even if Lord Vamandev is himself using the word that I pretentiously did that, a devotee understands that it's not pretension. Pretension is falsity. If something does not belong to me and I falsely claim it, then it is pretension. But is that the truth? No. For the Supreme Lord, aham sarvasya prabhava, everything comes from him, so everything actually belongs to him. But it is the Lord's humility that he says, well, actually in this particular case, he is the king, it belongs to him. And so if I have to take it back, then definitely the way, the tactics that I used is pretension. But if you ask Bali Maharaj, he will never claim that it is pretension. He will say, yes, it actually belongs to him only. I'm just offering it back to him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that, is it really that it was deception on the part of Lord Vamandev? He explains that actually for a person who follows dharma, and if you want to take something from him, then the only way is to beg in front of him. If you beg, then because he is following dharma, he'll give it to you. But if you try to steal it from him, he's going to fight back. He's a follower of dharma, is it not? In the Gita, we read of this concept of atatai. You know, if somebody steals away something from you, then you are eligible to fight back. You are eligible to even kill that person. It's not a sin. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually if somebody is following dharma and you want to get something from him, then begging is the only way. So Lord Vamandev, although he in his mood of humility claims that he is pretentiously doing that, but since he is the source of dharma, he knows what is right and what is wrong. He would never use inappropriate techniques to even claim something that originally belongs to him. He will never do that. He is the Supreme Lord. He has to set a standard. So he comes and he begs and takes from the Lord, and very humbly at the end of the whole pastime, sometimes even at the risk of being ridiculed. Certain communities in South India, they ridicule Lord Vaman. They think Lord Vishnu is such a person. His pure devotee, he wanted to give everything. But what did he do? He stole it away in such a pretentious way. He came in a small size, then expanded himself. This is not the qualities of a gentleman. But then with the help of acharyas, we understand that now. This is actually the only way to take something from the person who falsely claims proprietorship over something that originally belongs to the Lord. And this is done to help him get purified, to help him get rid of this mentality of aham and mama. If Lord Vamandev did not do that, his sense of aham and mama would have grown, maybe beyond proportion. Then how will Lord help his pure devotee? Sometimes it is necessary to take away in order to give. Sometimes the Lord may find our hands too full with something that we consider valuable in order to receive his blessings. So he wants to give blessings, but we are with our hands full considering some temporary and some unimportant things to be very much more valuable than what he wants to give us. So sometimes Lord may use standard techniques to take it away from us, or sometimes he may adopt non-standard techniques. But in all cases, whatever he does is auspicious for us. When he does that, when he is trying to use sometimes inappropriate techniques, he also gives support. It's not that he'll cause pain to you even when he's doing that. In the case of Bali Maharaj, he makes it easy for him. We refer to the point of aham and mama and how mama is a lower mentality. So if you see, first he took whatever belonged to Bali Maharaj. So his possessions, that is the two universes, the upper planetary systems and the lower planetary systems, they were taken. Then the third step was aham. Then the third step was that you yourself, now nothing which belongs to you, now you yourself. And when Lord Vamandev demanded that, Bali Maharaj, he offered very readily, very eagerly, his own self, his own identity is offering. It's not just his body, that he kept his feet on his body. His identity as the ruler, as the soul, the most powerful person in the universe was subdued in this case. When somebody puts his feet over your head, you are accepting his dominion over you, his superiority over you. So it's not just that, you know, I offer my body in your service. He's offering his position by bowing down in front of the Lord. So that is very difficult. But Lord Vamandev is helping him do that. Another place where we observe that this mercy of the Lord in trying to purify his devotee, because sometimes that purification may be difficult, is that of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj somehow deviated. But then how did the Lord help him? He decided to purify him. He gave him a suitable, if you can call it a punishment, but in some ways it's a reward, because he then understood the seriousness of the situation. He gave him that punishment. He gave him an appropriate reciprocation in the form of the body of a deer. But his mercy still continued in the form of remembrance of the mistake that he had done. So Lord purifies, but he does it in a way that helps the devotee understand that it is not a punishment, it is purification. Sometimes you will see people who, this workshops where sometimes cars are repaired. So sometimes there is a dent. If there is some accident or you hit another car, then there is a dent on the surface of the car's body. And then you go to the workshop to get it fixed. So when they will hit it to keep it straight, they'll also give it support from back. You have to do that. In order to make a bent plate straight, when you hit it, you have to do it very gently. You have to do it very softly. At the same time, you have to give it support from the back. Otherwise, you'll just reverse. Now it is bent in this side. By hitting on the other side, you'll bend it on the other side. So when you give it support, then only it comes out very nicely. So that is how the Supreme Lord purifies somebody. He gives support also. And since the Lord wants to purify, and He does it sometimes for some devotees in seemingly very difficult ways, and this, even though He gives support, it might be very difficult, but still, the devotee very happily undergoes this purification. As Jada Bharat, when he was born, he never complained. Oh, two extra lives. I was on the stage of Bhava. I would have gone back. You just could have neglected my small, insignificant mistake. He never complained. Instead, he took all the more precautions. He never wasted a single moment. He never talked to anybody. If somebody would teach him some Karmakandi principles, he would exactly do the reverse. Stay away. Focus only on the Supreme Lord. If you do this, how do you win the favor of the Lord? How much is the Lord happy? The other example of Atmanivedanam, because Bali Maharaj is the most prominent example of Atmanivedanam. The other example of Atmanivedanam is Ambarish Maharaj. When the fiery demon attacked Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj was just with folded hands, depending on the Lord. He never resisted even in a small way. Of course, being a devotee, he had superior powers. He could have negated the demon by his own powers, but he never did that. So he's also an example of Atmanivedanam. So in that pastime, when the demon is killed and then Durvasa Muni is running all over the universe trying to seek refuge from Sudarshan Chakra, he goes to the Supreme Lord and he appeals to the Supreme Lord. So then Supreme Lord, in reply, he speaks those famous verses that Aham Bhakta Paradhina and like that. So one of the verses is very nice, where Lord Vishnu, he explains how he is controlled by the Lord. So he says, Mai Nirbaddha Hridaya Sadhava Samadarshana Vashe Kurvanti Mam Bhaktya Sat Striya Sat Patim Yatha. He says that those devotees, Nirbaddha Hridaya, with all their heart, with no other attachment to anything, Nirbaddha, when they offer themselves to me and they are like sadhu samadarshana, then they vashe kurvanti, they control me, mam bhaktya, with their bhakti, with their love for me, they control me. How? What is the example? He gives a very nice example. He says, sat striya sat patim yatha. Just like a chaste wife controls her gentle husband by her love and devotion, by her service to the husband. So husband is more powerful. He earns money and he does all the necessary activities which are useful for the maintenance of the family. But the wife, simply by her chastity and simply by her service in love and devotion for the husband, controls the husband. And interestingly, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he once offered this nice deeper look at this. He said, see, actually, in constitutionally speaking, we are Prakriti and Lord is Purush. So we are females and then Lord is male. So Lord says, Sat Striya Sat Patim Yatha. So just like, actually, the maintainer, Chetanas Chetanam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. So Lord Krishna is providing for us. But if we lovingly surrender to Him, if we love Him, then with our bhakti, we can control Him. He offers Himself to us, just like a chaste wife can control a gentle husband. And when that happens, we see in this case that Lord Vamandev, just seeing that extraordinary surrender of Bali Maharaj, seeing how in spite of all reversals, he is just taking one step after another, more and more surrender, more and more surrender. First he offers these two steps. His spiritual master rebukes him. His wife rejects him. He is facing he's facing humiliation. He's being bound up in front of all his subordinates. And he hangs his head in shame. Not only that, Prahlad Maharaj comes there. Prahlad Maharaj also sees, when would the Lord bind up somebody? It means he has done something wrong. So Prahlad Maharaj would feel, oh, you know, I am known as such a big devotee of the Lord, and my grandson has done something which caused him to be bound up by the same Supreme Lord. So Bali Maharaj is actually an amazing person. How is he able to do that is very difficult to understand. Personally speaking, I was thinking on this, and something that came to my mind was, when we came to devotional service, definitely we faced a lot of opposition from our family members, especially those in the renounced order. There's so much opposition, there is so much questions, and there's always that fear of, you know, I'm rejecting all my friends. Because suddenly you realize that nobody's by your side when you accept Krishna consciousness. Your family does not accept you. So there is that fear. But I thought that in those trying days, when nobody was accepting you and everyone was actually trying to dissuade you from devotional service, at least there was one support. What was that support? The spiritual guide, the spiritual mentor to whom we were attached. So at least when you were being rejected by all these people, when you came to the temple, you had one person who would support with you, who would give you support and, you know, give you a shoulder to cry on and say, no, no problem, you know, this is how it is. All devotees will face this. Don't worry. Continue ahead. We had some support. And on the basis of that strong support that is offered to us during that critical time only, we are able to go forward. But if you observe the case of Bali Maharaj, his spiritual authorities also cursed him. Shapto, it says here. Guruna bharsitaha shapto. His spiritual master also rebuked him. His spiritual master also cursed him. What an intense situation. You don't have any support. Your material relatives, they rebuked you. They rejected you. Then you look to your spiritual master. At least you support me in my surrender to Vishnu. So he also says, no, don't surrender. He just has that faith that probably he got from his association with Prahlad Maharaj, being his grandfather, that no, the Supreme Lord is Vishnu. And everything that we own, everything that we possess has to be offered to him. Just on the basis of that faith. And physically, when that thing is happening, Prahlad Maharaj is not present there. Prahlad Maharaj comes later. So just imagine when this is happening, there is no support to him. No spiritual personality there even is telling him, no, no, don't worry. Although all these people are rejecting you, although all these people are trying to dissuade you, go ahead. This is the right thing to do. He just has that inner voice inside. So that is Bali Maharaj. That is why he is called the Acharya of Atmanivedanam. Very difficult to do. Surrendering everything. Manasa deho geho jo kichuma arpulyu tuva pade nanda kishore. Very difficult to do that. So that is how I was thinking that we can understand this pastime. So even though we understand that in the Gita, he says, Lord Krishna says, dvavu imau purushau loke kshara akshara evacha. So in the translation he says, all the living entities in this material world are fallible. And he says, all the living entities in the spiritual world, they are infallible. But Bali Maharaj is in the material world, is it not? He belongs to the fallible category. In Lord Krishna's own estimation, he belongs to the fallible category. So when tests are being increased more and more, greater is the chance for a conditioned living entity to fail in his surrender. But no, Bali Maharaj, although he appears to be like this, he has strong sense of surrender to the Supreme Lord. And that's why we can learn so much from him. And in today's verse, the purport, Prabhupada mentions. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. It means he's glorious before also. Only thing we don't know. But Lord is so kind. He tests, at the same time he gives support, and in doing this, he glorifies the devotee. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachi. Everything is already done. But you earn the credit. So I'll stop here. And thank you very much for your patient listening. If somebody has any corrections or comments, then you can offer them. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.